Love
the new Gonzo
Radio.
Beat. Ninja Mimes, my friend Spike Connolly, who has got a couple other songs that I'm going to play later on in the show. But, G, how you doing? You there?
Hey, there we go. Sorry. Hey, I butt-dialed mute. Sorry.
Okay, I wasn't sure what was going on. All right,
I got mad.
So we're here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's wrong with the world, I'll tell you. Fucking not enough Looney Tunes cartoons, and everybody's working on the weekends. You give a person a two-day in a row on the weekends, I guarantee he's going to be happier than shit. I know I was.
I think we need more cupcakes and fucking. That's my solution, cupcakes and fucking.
And you can get that shit on the weekend, man. You know? Free cupcakes and, you know, sexual favors for making trips to the fridge. That's how it should go. That's how it should be. you know. It'll mellow a hell of a lot more people off if they're getting a regular sex. I'll tell you that.
I think that's the solution. Definitely the solution. Well, we're this is episode 3, take 2. This is our first call-in show, and we do have a caller on the line who's going to come on here in a few minutes. Let me give a little background. This is one of my favorite poets. This is Robert Wilson, also known as Darkman for his view of the world. Are you there, Robert?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. Well, I'm really excited that you were able to call in tonight. I know you're busy and doing all kinds of stuff, but I'm glad you took the time to come on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Why don't you hit us up with a right? Why don't you hit us up with a right? Wow, gee. Show them some of your stuff.
I can't wait. I've been hearing a lot about you. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, this one's called Alien Boy. You may see me walk your concrete havens with bent legs and think I'm just a bit off, but inside my bones are contorting into inhumanity. Some alien awestruck by everything. Everyone I meet will eventually run when they see my exposed, blackened guts. But I need to savor every acquaintance before they become a falling star of a friendship. Maybe one day I will learn to love the disgust that is me. But until then, I will claw at every nicotine-stained window, savoring the cracks as my fingers bleed and the blood reminds me of every imperfection, like a refrigerator mother's whisper. And right.
Fucking awesome, man. You never disappoint.
Rocket.
You never disappoint.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So how have you been?
So how long you two? How long you two? Two known each other?
We've known each other.
Since 2012.
Yeah, 2012. It's been a long time. You did a lot of shows with Nancy Davenport, as a matter of fact, once upon a time.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
And back when...
So where
back,
do you...
back when...
Well, I was going to ask Darkman, where he's reading out, what he's got going on. What's up? I mean, first time I've heard your voice, and I've heard the name through Andrew, but... where are you out of? What are you doing? Where do we find you in print? Yada and yada and some more yada.
Well, I have two books out. The first one is called Houses I've Died In. The second one is called Screamo Lullabies, which is out via Alien Buddha Press. I am working on a third. Tentative title is called Dusty Video Game Cartridges.
I love it already.
Go ahead.
One of the rights I want to read isn't going to be from that book, but I consider it a sneak peek for that book.
Excellent.
Ooh,
You're coming to us from West Virginia, right?
Morgantown, yes.
Yeah, Morgantown, West Virginia. Proof that intelligent life does exist somewhere in West Virginia.
That's like saying all poets in Davenport, Iowa practice structure. No, wait, they do.
No, wait, they do. Yeah. Hit us up with that.
Real quick, I was in my hometown and trying to hook up a little read, and the cat says, "Hey, let me hear something." So I went into one of my, one of my poems, and he's like going, dude, that sounds like narrative. Like he was disappointed. And I'm like going, well, narrative prose, it's from the heart and solid. He goes, I gotta like the traditional form. And I looked at him, and I wanted to kick him in the balls. He just was so dismissive. I don't know. Unwarranted opinion, Mother Jabronski. I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Man. Well, hit us up with that new rate, Robert.
Like I said, this isn't going to be in that book because all of the poems I've written for that book are kind of top secret and in development right now, but this one's called Soda and Sweat, and it's in the same style.
Okay, great.
Do you remember how the sun would pixelate above our laughter when we held blue guns in front of bulky cameras? We saw trees as heroes, climbing pine to get a better view of everything that couldn't be glitched in the breeze of flannel. All the scrapes we shared, we drenched in soda and sweat, just to keep going because even pain can put our endorphins down. I can still hear our yelling mothers for us to come home and us not wanting to listen because tomorrow seemed as if it were running from us, even though we are quicker, stronger than we could ever imagine. We were gods with eyes of halo shine and hearts of teeth, and sometimes I think we are still deities, but there is nothing more holy than innocence and right.
Man, that you're on fire. On fire.
Yeah, that's tight shit, brother. Tight. Now, if you ever out on the West Coast, let's hook you up with some reeds. God, that's what I'm talking about. Do you read out
well,
a lot, Duckman?
Do I what?
Do you read out? I mean, you out there giving it to the masses?
Whenever
if you are, how do you like it?
I do try to get a readings, but there haven't been any around here lately. There used to be monthly readings down at this place I used to love called the MAC, the Monongahela Arts Center, but I don't think they do that anymore. I'm trying to get something together myself, but I haven't really had the time to do anything myself yet.
Well, you definitely have a unique voice, and I love whenever you post on Facebook. People can find you on Facebook. People can find you on Facebook under Robert Wilson, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're on Instagram. You do some flash fiction on Instagram, don't you?
Flash poetry. Yes, sir.
And what's your handle on Instagram?
RobertJW4688.
Got to make sure we plug you as much as we can.
That is also my Twitter and Tumblr handler as well.
Yeah, you're all across the social media.
Yes,
well,
sir.
You know this is the first of our call-in shows, and shit, dude, you can call in any and every time. You got to. I like you. I like what I hear. I like to see it in print, though. I mean, so where can we find that at again?
RobertJW4688. That is my Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter handle.
And I can get your books off those, right?
Yeah, they're on Amazon.
Cool. Amazon. I can't wait to be a one-star poet on Amazon myself. I'm working toward it.
My books on Amazon are under Robert JW because there are so many Robert Wilsons and I wanted to be different. So my pen name is Robert JW on there.
That's got to be
hard. Make sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, make sure you, if you're listening, you get a hold of one of Robert's books. I've bought both of them, and they're both excellent.
What a way to kick the kick it off, I'll tell you. Damn.
Robert is no stranger to, like me, he's no stranger to psych wards, and I've got another song that I want to go to a musical break here real quick. This is called Nurse Ratched Blues. This is another one from the Ninja Mimes. So here we go with Nurse Ratched Blues. Does it really?
Yeah, it does. It reminds me of one cruising on the Ohio State campus and listening to all the new music and all the that just totally reminds me of the early 80s. Totally.
Well, that was the Ninja Mimes with Nurse Ratched Blues, and we've got one more poem from Darkman Robert Wilson. You're up, Robert.
This one's called I Didn't Want to Go to Your Stupid Rapture Anyway. Briars are growing up my lungs and tightening like a jilted lover's grip. I'm fading as I wander these crippled streets. All the sediment is becoming colorful code beneath my gasping eyes, and the quiet is making my ears bleed. Everyone has taken their place in heaven or hell but me. And I know I was left behind because they didn't want to hear me complain. So I'm stuck here, searching for a final purpose I'll never find. All the holes in my lungs wheeze grievances to the rapture. And I weep in the corner on what is left of my childhood home until I die and we dance this crippled tangle over and over and over and over and right.
Nice.
You're incredible.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're incredible. That was really great,
I
Robert.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on our inaugural call-in show. And like G said, you definitely have to call back and come on again.
I will.
Take my place. Because that's incredible.
I don't think I can do that.
I mean, you just yell a lot.
Well,
don't make sense.
I save my screaming for the sky.
I'm learning how not to scream at things. And it's definitely has made my life a lot interesting. And people actually move if you say excuse me instead of hey, fuck you, get out of my way. A lot more people should try it. Like, I've had so many fucking fingers in my face. And you know what? I'm in nobody's hurry. But it just seems like everybody's got to rush to somewhere where they don't fucking need to be. Doing shit that they don't want to do, but they got to do it. And all they have to do is say fucking no. You should learn how to say no. A lot more.
Yep.
Fuck.
Well, Robert, let's get your digits back out there again. You're Robert Wilson on Facebook, Robert JW, what number?
4688.
Robert JW 4688, all across the blogosphere. Dark Man, I really appreciate you coming on.
We'll be talking to you soon, brother.
We'll catch up with you soon. We'll catch up with you soon,
all
okay?
Right. I will talk
all
to
right.
you guys
Take
later.
Care.
You too.
Take care, Robert.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Okay.
Nice.
That was great.
That was nice.
Let's take it to a musical break. Let's see some of the music that you've got for me tonight. Let's see, what's the feel good hit of the summer?
Oh, that's a little drug ditty. I've started to my new poems, and I've been trying to stay away from talking about the drugs. It's gonna have to come out. I can't write about, you know, flowers and how this little kid looked at me the right way and made me all soft. I got to talk about the junkies and getting ripped off and the shooting them up houses. Some dark shit.
I hear you.
That's one of the songs that reminds me of those times and kind of puts a bounce to it. And how I write my poems are basically when I'm listening to my songs in my youth.
Well,
here's still good hit.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Here it comes. And as the song fades out, I guess we're back on the air. You there, G?
Yeah, I am.
All right, great.
Nice.
So what are you up to tonight?
Well, I'm hanging out with the beautiful poet Nancy Davenport, and we're going to eat hamburgers and talk about Sid Corman and maybe watch a murder mystery. And I'm thinking about doing her toes in a nice French dip.
Fun.
It is. My dad used to say, you know, son, you lived the life of Riley. And I'm like going, who is that fucking guy? And he's got to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I want to hear some of your latest stuff. I've been busy working and taking care of my own beautiful wife, and haven't been writing very much recently. Have you got something for me?
I've got a poem, but it's one I'm going to be working on, and I've been invited to a very nice read in the city, San Francisco. And it's one of my first times in San Francisco that some really heavy hitters are going to be there. So, and I've been, like I said, I've started in on some new stuff on a new vein. And all I've been doing is writing, but nothing's ready to be brought out. I'm not one of those new shit kind of guys. I like having my stuff a little more polished. But I do have a fairly new one. I call it The Wrong Time and Place.
Great. So, hit me up.
I am, baby. This is when I was living in Marin County over there in one of their places called San Rafael. And it was a nice dark night, and I got held up, and here's what happened. In begin poem. I was arm in arm with a 12-pack dragging feet home, dreaming about an Illinois robin that flew south looking for warmer winter skies. I'm wondering how I'm going to make it through when a Mexican youth with his hand deep in pocket tells me to stand and deliver. Give him everything I got. Fuck. Well, Bendel, all I got is this 12-pack of Keystone, a little over 2 grams of green bud, $53.82. It's got to stretch 7 more days. You see, Patron, this Illinois Robin took everything I got before you popped in and wanted more, like my heart, my soul, my smile, my laughter, my will, my money, my dreams. The good parts of our bedroom set. She took one of my best friends, and they're living in the hills of Corona Madera now. All I got is nothing left to lose. Hear ye me. So fuck you. I'm ready to dance with the devil, to sleep with angels tonight. Anxious even. So I says, cabron, what you got? I pray. Oh, please, merciful doorknob, let him have a 45 or a 38, not a 22, because those fuckers sting. Definitely not a knife, because I've been cut before, and to me, that feels a little bit like a home I don't want to return to. Amen. But he's got nothing but a finger and balls, so I give him my Keystone the hard way. And then I climb on him, thinking about the wrong time and place, remembering an Illinois robin with an unfaithful heart, just like a cold, ancient, gray, melting ice. Oh, and those crazy come-fuck-me blue eyes, and how I was never going to hear her scream my name or about compensation or how her old soul was going to disappear loudly with no one around to hear her goodbyes except an unarmed bandito. Too bad for this poor Mexican. And by that, I mean the both of us. My broken pride hurt as I unloaded everything bad about her to his personal space until I felt all right, and tired of being sick with the uglies. I got up off my knees, his chest, collected my loose cans of beer, rifled through his backpack. Looks like I got me $138.68 in my dungarees pocket. No mighty regretting birds filling an Indian ink sky on my way back to my little room wondering about the truth and transference. I'm telling you, compadres, now I think I'll last until next payday. In right.
That was great, man. That was great.
That shit actually happened. That's the truth there, man.
The best poetry comes from the heart.
Oh, yeah. That and some guy's hungrier than you are.
Yeah. So tell me about this next song, Fried Chicken and Coffee. They're two of my favorite things. Tell me about that song.
That's bad right there. It's from one of my new favorite bands, Nashville Pussy. They've been out a little while, but yeah, they tour all the really cool small clubs. And my friend Sloppy D and his wife Di, they took me to my first Nashville Pussy show, and we drank with them. Although the husband, you know, he stayed in the trailer. He's about had it with his with the rock and roll lifestyle, but his. The guitar player, which is a female, she was out there drinking beers and bumming cigarettes from us, and really good gal. And this is one of my favorite songs, and it's also the one that my son picked out because my iPod mirrors his iPod. I loaded up for him so he can have different tastes in music. He picked this one out on myself. He called me up and said, "Hey, Dad, check this song out." And then this is it, Fried Chicken and Coffee.
Excellent. Well, let's hear it. Here it comes. We'll be right back.
Man, that's a rocking little ditty right there, I tell you.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome. I'm feeling kind of schizophrenic here. I've got an open beer and a hot cup of coffee, and that just makes me want to drink coffee. So I'll just put this beer in the fridge for later.
Well, because, you know, I got a bowl going on and making hamburgers. Yes, radio people. I'm smoking dope and making all meat patties. That's what makes America fucking great. You know, and I have no clue why a lot more people just can't fucking just do what they want to do if it doesn't consist on hurting others or treading on their feelings. You should be able to live the life of fucking kings. But everybody wants to get up in their shit. Eat more hamburgers.
Yep.
Smoke more weed. Evolve, people. Evolve.
Well, I don't think weed should just be legal. I think it should be mandatory.
Yeah, I think it should. You're right. I think it should be mandatory.
I mean, you know, it's, you're in traffic and, oh shit, man, here, take this. Ah, man, I'm sorry. I was taking life a little bit too seriously there. How many fights would happen on weed? None. I mean, the only fights you hear about are alcohol fueled.
Yeah,
you know,
I've had my ass handed me in bars a couple of times because, you know, Jack Daniels says some pretty fucking mean stuff. And
yeah.
So does his buddy Budweiser. But smoking the Mary Jane and shit, I'm usually laughing about stuff all the time.
Well, I've never gotten into a fight on weed, I can tell you that. It's just like, hey.
Hey.
It's just, hey.
Hey, what were we talking about? Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
The legalization, as I see it, the place to watch and what you never hear about is Washington. Not our state capital, which also is legal to buy a bag down there in Washington, D.C. Go figure that one out. But Washington are doing a bang-up job out there on regulation and keeping their populace safe. And it just seems like fucking all you really hear is the negative stuff. Your insurance rates are going to go up. Johnny Dipstick ate one too many gummy bears, and now he thinks he's God. Those aren't scare tactics, and I keep trying to keep reminding my square ass friends that, you know, remember when you smoked weed in high school, you know, if you took a little too much, you just got a little paranoid. Just ride that shit out. Oh, no, man,
yeah.
They say. Oh, no, man, they say. Weed is so much powerful, so much different than what it was before. And I tell you what, I've lost two buddies and my old man, my pop, due to alcohol. I lost zero friends fucking that smoke weed. Now, the other party drugs, I can't say too much about, but I'll fucking go to bat for marijuana anytime. Legalize that shit across the board. And, you know, motherfuckers are trying to make money off of it left and right. That's just the way of humanity. But it's not about fucking
Look at all the good that's happened in Colorado, you know, all the taxation money goes to schools, You know, they're doing a bang up job in Colorado.
Yeah, well, once they learn how to skim off of it, everybody will be happy. They just can't figure out how to regulate the fucking stuff, and that's sorry to say, there are all you hippies and you right wingers. Once they legalize the shit, they're gonna want to make money off of it. They're gonna commercialize it and they're gonna make it ugly. That Marlboro, you're gonna be buying Marlboro brand weed, and sitting around with your talking about the good old days. We got to keep on that legislation. We got to keep on our government if we want to keep it this way, but without the stank of and stigma of being chased and jailed and having everything taken away from us. We just got to be on these legislators and not let the corporations or these money hungry millennials come on in and try to do what they do. Class it up.
I hear you. I
Leave
hear
it alone,
you.
Baby. Leave it alone. I mean, I don't mind.
One thing I wanted to touch on, unfortunately, Sixaplex is working, and he can't come on and read tonight. We'll have to catch him at another date. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we covered tonight was the new Gonzo Beats is all about getting new people out there, getting new voices, new music.
Yeah.
Playing my friend Spike Connolly. You've got a friend who we're going to play pretty soon once we figure out all the technical difficulties involved. You want to give a shout out to your buddy?
I want to give a lot of shout out to Jason O'Donnell. The man, he's got some really cool stuff. And he's always got an interesting style. He's got a unique voice. He's from Chicago. I mean, I lived with that guy, starved with that motherfucker when we moved out here to the West Coast. Although, you know how things are with youth. He didn't quite make it out here, and he went back to Chicago. But he's still fucking doing it. And he sent me a shit ton of fucking music, bro. And it's tight. I've already got a couple of favorites. And do mix-ups and misunderstandings, I cannot get that shit downloaded. And so this afternoon, I tried dicking it around with it for a minute, but he is definitely going to be someone to listen to. And another friend of mine, Francis Sheridan, he's a friend from across the pond over there in England, and he's got a band called She Brew, and those guys are fucking stoner rock. That guy is awesome. It's just these grooves, and then he sings those fucking voices. It's like E.L. Lowe that just grew a pair of balls. So I mean, where there's a lot of tight music out there that I want to bring to our show. And and if I have any of my Bay Area poets listening, I may have not put up a number, but let's get you on here too for the call-in show. So yeah, I got the West Coast here. I'm gonna start pumping it out, the new stuff. So
well, as many new voices as we can get, we're gonna get. So. That's one of the aims of this show is to get as many new people out there and get voices heard. Want to make sure we do that. I did
another
pull up
thing,
a piece.
We should tell the listeners. Well, another thing we should tell the listeners too. The new Gonzo Beats are more than just Andrew and myself, and. We're going to come at you with our own personal shows and our own personal lineups. Not see who does whatever, but we have issues on our own that must be said. And you're going to hear different styles and different versions. It's still going to be new Gonzo beats, but join in when Zen Daddy T does his stuff, and especially when I do my stuff, because I like my rock and I like my rants. So tune in, and guys, keep plugging into us, because we can only get better. And I tell you what, there's a lot more worse shit you can listen to than two guys on the East and West Coast telling you it's okay to be fucking weird. It's okay to fly your food flag. It's okay to start a fucking revolution. Say no. Quit your fucking job. Squat on your landlord's property. Make him tell you something. It's time we give the squares a shake up. Firm.
I'm with you, brother. Well, I pulled a right. This I did New Year's Eve of last year. It's called Drowning in Dystopia. There's an old joke about therapy I like to use. You're never really cured. You just stop going. In my personal model of recovery, relapse is inevitable. It's a part of the natural cycle of the life, the ebb and flow. The real goal of an individual with any type of mental health issue is to stretch out the length of time that one is stable, the remission of symptoms or manifestation of the condition. My personal goal is to be functional, even when my bipolar disorder is evident in my daily life experience. For example, my mood state is constantly in flux. I'm a rapid cycling person and can shift from severely depressed to highly manic in a short period of time and back again. In my life today, I want to be able to paint and write, to create. I derive meaning in my life by what I am able to produce. I used to think that I was only able to produce when I was manic. When I was depressed in the past, I was not able to do anything but curl in the fetal position in my bed. However, what I created in a manic state was not my best work. My best work came out of a hypomanic activity or effort made while in a mid-range mood state. In this stage in my life, I'd rather be mildly depressed because I can get shit done and I'm not as much of an asshole. I mean, I'm still an asshole, I'm just not as much of one. It's the concept of depressive realism, which supposes that people who have a decidedly negative view of the world are more correct than those who have a positive attitude. I am most productive at this time. I'm often asked how I handle a depressive episode or a relapse. How do you handle a depressive episode? My answer is this: by just allowing myself to be in the moment, letting my mood flow around me like water, accepting what is, being here now, giving myself a break, not allowing a self-destructive thought cycle to take root in my consciousness, breathing, enjoying every moment of existence, allowing myself to feel love, even recognizing you're in a depressive phase is an important step. Having self-awareness is a great thing. Being a Buddhist requires self-acceptance and self-compassion. How can one love others if one does not love oneself? No, one is never cured of much of anything, especially in the area of trauma and psychological issues. End right.
Nice. See, I mean, depression's a hard thing, brother. And you have it. You definitely have it worse than I do. I mean, now here's a question: when you're in one of your cycles, and you get some clown to tell you to cheer up, I mean, how do you? I mean, that usually drives me deeper into another.
It's hard. It's hard when people don't understand. It's not something that you can just snap out of. It takes a lot to get me flummoxed these days. But I'm stable right now. So,
well, I'm fucking thank. I don't know. What do you say? Keep it up. Keep up the good work. These are all things that we got to learn. How to talk to people like this. I mean, really, I mean, as a society, we pretty much are told to not talk about it, or, hey, be careful, watch what you say. But that just kind of, I feel, puts a bigger stigma on it. And when
I agree with you, I think we need to have these conversations. We need to have these talks about mental health issues. It's really important to me. It's something that I take great strides to be upfront about my issues and what I go through, and just by talking, you know, even me and you talking here, you know, that takes a little bit of the stigma out of it. I'm very upfront about my issues. Very upfront.
I've got things. I've just now started to talk about my suicidal tendencies, and I haven't had one flow over me in a while, which I have to say, Nancy and her handling and how she handles me when she sees me fall down a hole, I think she's really reads who I am, and it's good, nice to have a partner to help you pull yourself out of those dark places. Especially,
absolutely.
I'm one of the type of guys that don't want to be medicated, and they just and all they want to do now is just throw medicine down your throat. And so I went back to self medicating.
Yeah, that's a big problem. But you're right. Having a good support person, I know I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my wife, Rebecca. She's kept me kept me in between the ditches, so to speak, trying to follow the middle path. And if it weren't for her, I sure wouldn't be here. So yeah, definitely, it helps to have a support person that can see, you know, when you're going into a dark spot and try to get you out of it. I know Nancy does that for you. I know Rebecca does that for me.
Shit, yeah. Really appreciate our women, that's for sure. I know we go back and forth between, you know, total anarchy and total depression. I mean, I don't know. How is that part of us? I mean, we're two very intelligent men who actually look at the bigger picture. And is that part of our depression, that we can't control our environment around us and we're unable to control our ability to control that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And if so, why? I mean, we didn't have these problems when we were kids. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we didn't see the mass depression or the upswing in suicidal rate. And it's when society deemed it necessary to put in an extra 4 hours at work, an extra $30 into the government, an extra dollar onto a pack of cigarettes. And it seems like our anxieties and our depression become greater with the more demands society puts on us.
I agree.
How come we're not addressing this? How come no one's addressing this issue? You know, I mean, yeah, we had alcoholism. We have alcohol, we have drug problems. But once you're not fighting for survival, wouldn't it just be naturally come to the conclusion you won't need to hide behind all those crutches? The happier I get, I'm a pothead. first and foremost, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a pothead. But the happier
yep,
I get personally in my life, the less I use. I used to wake and bake, but now with Nanny in my life and my poetic life taking off and my career is doing well, I find myself depending less and less on alcohol and drugs. And it's just like happiness is the main word here.
I agree.
How do we make people happy? How do we make people happy? All we want to do is regulate and subjugate and try to tell people how to live. How do we make people happy? What's it going to take to make us all happy? Because money isn't. I know a lot of rich people out there are not happy. No amount of money is going to make them happy. And I know people who
nope.
are deeply in love that are not happy. So ask yourself, what's going to make you happy? I don't think people are so busy working and doing their bullshit and trying to get ahead in life for shit that, what? For stuff that they can't take with them. You ain't going to take nothing with you. I don't care what you say. And you know what? Your kids are going to spend it. And they're going to spend it on whatever they need. So all that work, what's it going to make you happy?
Yep. Yep. Well, this is perfect segue. Tell me about the song One World Ain't Enough.
Dude, that is right there. It's from our... But it's an aggressive little ditty from a band called Propane. And it's just
excellent.
Like, you know, it says it for yourself. This, we ain't going to be able to please everybody. And if you think you can, one world ain't going to be enough, baby.
Well, let's hear it. Here it comes. One world ain't enough.
you. I did my best, but that wasn't enough.
Not enough.
I can't say things not like myself. I'll bid you all goodbye in front of us. Cause one world ain't enough for all of us.
And that was One World Ain't Enough by the band
Propane.
Is that correct?
Propane. Yeah, I got to get my heavy metal friends tuned in because I told them if I ever get a show together, we're going to play the fucking music hard and aggressive. And they said, yeah, right, Gusman. I like it.
Well, we're playing it hard and aggressive, that's for sure. Well, you in the bullpen, you told me that you had another write for us.
Yes, I do. Excuse me. I usually, I'm munching, and that's bad. That's bad manners. I apologize to the listeners for making you listen to me chew because I am a slightly large male with a nibbling complex. So, so with that being said, no, this is we're talking about depression, and I suffer from depression myself, and I've tried to terminate the off button myself on a couple of occasions. But here's a poem about one of the first times called Expectations. So here we go. Begin right. Billy's got no eye teeth because he wouldn't suck the dick of some meathead trying to roll his broke ass. That didn't scare him from fishing the Mississippi's back fingers off Credit Island. Life scared me. I met Billy after the undertow spit me out of its mouth for not trying. I was too dumb to kill myself, and that cold brown water knew it. Old Man River said I had something more to give. I had nothing left when I got everything I wanted. Billy thought he was going to get a Burgundy Ford LTD, 6 cold beers, a boombox with a hot mixtape in it. The undertow thought it was going to get to feed the forgetful accumulating silt of the riverbed. None of us got what we wanted from the moonlight but the mosquitoes. Billy gave me a towel that smells like dog piss. It was the warmest thing I've ever known to that point. I gave him his fish, his orange 10-speed to ride home, and the last 2 lukewarm beers from a king case. Driving home cobalt blue, I felt hungrier than ever waiting on that McRib. In right.
That was great, man.
Yeah. A little thing. Billy used to live on the river down by this this old junkyard on his parents' property in an old rundown fucking, I guess it, we wouldn't even call it a trailer, man. It was like you would take camping with you, a pop-up. And he had converted it into living quarters. And I met him When I tried to drown myself. I swear to God, that fucking just did. I could, it just spit me the fuck out. And I met him, and we became fishing buddies and everything. And I used to stay down there when I got way too drunk to drive home. And he'd tell me some of the coolest stories and shit like that, man. And he's been dead going on. Shit, I was 23 when he died. So I think about him all the time.
Well, you've spurred something with me. I'll share something about my most recent suicide attempt. To set the scene, my daddy's birthday is the 9th of July. And by the 1st of August last year, I was in a full-blown psychotic depression. That was the first time I had ever had that. And to let you know how bad things were, let me say that the whole space-time continuum had warped on me. Somehow, my wife Rebecca would go to the store and she'd return home before she actually left. Not really, but it was a truth in my mind. I couldn't do simple math. I could not put a calculator. I was psychotically depressed. And symptoms of psychotic depression include, well, I won't go into all that, but I was racked with guilt about my role in my father's dying day, and I felt I deserved to be punished. I believed I could not perform the simplest tasks and that I was doomed to a life of despair. I'd shamble down the hall to the bathroom when I was absolutely forced to get out of bed. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't bathe, brush my teeth, or change my clothes. I was a wreck, a shell of my usual self, and I couldn't operate my phone or even Terry on Facebook. I was incommunicado, radio silent. And this manifested itself in my most personal relationship as well, the relationship with my wife. I would cringe when spoken to and would try to anticipate what was said to me so I could proffer an appropriate response. I just wanted silence, but the silence was violent in my head. I was thinking of ways to die. I finally decided I would overdose on my medications. On August 1st, 2016, my prescriptions were refilled. I was taking hero doses of Thorazine each night just to sleep fitfully. I was still taking benzos in those days. And on the day my script was refilled, I had twice the lethal dose of my meds. So I took them all, every pill in the house. My wife Rebecca had gone to sleep. I laid awake to fulfill my destiny. I found a program for my father's memorial service at church. I wrapped myself in the bathrobe my father died in. I unscrewed the medication bottles as I screwed up the courage to take their contents. With as little water as possible to maximize the impact of the drugs, I faced my doom. I had done the internet research. I had just over the double level of the lethal dose of Thorazine. I would have succeeded if I had not taken my Klonopin. Dosing on the benzo disallowed my body to take a lethal seizure, and I woke up in Frederick Memorial Hospital the next day. Back up. Rebecca was totally worried about me and the state of my mental health. Often during the days preceding the event, she would check in with me to see how I was feeling, but I flat out lied to her, assuring her that I was okay, not thinking about suicide. Everything was fine. Little did she know when she kissed me goodnight, I was planning to take my own life. When she woke up, she found me unresponsive. She didn't know what to do. It took the urgent warnings from a dear friend to force her to call 911. While she awaited for the ambulance to arrive to transport me to the hospital, in her frustration and anger, she shaved my eyebrows. I showed her, though, because in the psych ward, I found a Sharpie and drew them back on. Talk about looking crazy. Anyway, I make jokes about it because I have to. It's how I deal with such a serious topic. Rebecca felt anger at my decision to leave her alone. In my twisted thinking, I thought I was doing her a favor, that she would be better off without me, that all her problems would be solved, when in actuality, they would only be beginning. In the week I spent in the psych ward, not once did anyone ask me why I did it. That's one of the problems in the mental health system today. Even professionals do not know how to talk to people who are suffering. Rebecca was angry, but the underlying issue was one of loss and betrayal. I had betrayed her trust. I had lied to her. I felt no one, not even she, could understand me and my feelings. My situation is by no means unique. Hundreds of people a day around the world choose death over life. So the solution is communication. Now my wife and I are more honest with each other. she about her concern, me about my true feelings. All of us need to stop fearing talking about the real issues at hand. It is literally the difference between life and death. And right.
Fucking right on, brother. Right on. Right on. Right on.
So we need to talk about this kind of stuff. That's the only way the final solution can be avoided. So
you know, we have and we got a lot of people saying impeach this, get rid of that, do that, do this, but they're not offering any solutions like that guy who interrupts my TV shows with his payment of, like he said, I don't even, Tom Strickland or whatever his fucking name is. And he's not offering, he's just saying impeach the president, which is fine and dandy because the guy's a piece of shit. But he's not offering solutions. Nobody's offering fucking solutions on how to solve this problem.
I would be more scared if Mike Pence were the president than Trump. That guy is true
and
evil.
Yeah, but so you got some guy stirring a bunch of people saying, "Hey, let's impeach," but it's one of those things.
What's the alternative? The alternative?
Yeah. At least we know this, what this guy is. So I'd say shut the hell up unless you got some ideas. What are my ideas on how to make society great again? Get rid of all your financial institutions. Get rid of all that crap right now. Make money illegal. Let's figure out a way, because if we get rid of half our, even a quarter of what we spend on bombs, we can feed everybody and make sure that they're taken care of. All of our mental issues can be solved. But everybody, all these corporations, the government wants to make a dime. They want we're working ourselves into death, for death, without, you know, enough, people. We you know, clean water. They're trying to privatize water. Clean water is a right. Health is a right. Living indoors and shitting indoors is a right. These aren't luxuries. Land ownership, paying for our own services. These are things.
I'm
that,
with you.
You know, these are things we
I'm
should
with
be
you,
talking
man.
About, people. You know, so I mean, why are we having mental issues? Why are we getting fat? Why are we just waiting for the next big car? We should try to be feeding each other and helping each other. And it takes a village, baby. It takes a village.
Well, let's take it to a musical break. How about end rant. Tell me about Thorn in My Side. What can you tell me about this song coming up? Thorn in My Side.
I take that as society, because a lot of people say, ask a lot of big things from each other, but they won't turn around and give hugs or kisses or a kind word, especially if they're in a hurry. And I try to practice goodwill and cheer every day now. Hasn't been long, but my life has changed, and society is a thorn in my side. Because
the band name?
This is Quicksand. And just
Quicksand.
Before you play this, remember, people, we can be angels, each and every one of us, if we're willing to just let that devil die in us. Nothing we can do is as important as loving each other. That's truth right there, baby.
And here we go with Quicksand, Thorn in My Side.
Nice. Yeah.
And that was Thorn in My Side by Quicksand.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are tight. I miss them. I miss those guys. Wish we would get back and play some more shows. It was like Bill Hicks, during the Bill Hicks times. Maybe the
early '90s.
Yeah, those early '90s had a lot of powerful social bands come out of it, and overshadowed by hair metal bands and grunge.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It was. So other than that, yeah. And I don't know, the seems like we're in a great depression of musical influences and something to say. Where's the Marvin Gaye's and Captain Beefheart's and Zappa's? You know?
Yeah. Well, why don't you give us one more? Give us one more taste of your of your stuff before we close this thing down.
Oh, worst part of the night, shutting her down. Some of us fade into heroes. Begin read. I treasure Bruce Lee kicking Chuck Norris's ass decisively in the Flavian Amphitheater, where both in reality would have been fed to the lions, bears, and hippos of old Rome by Titus. Oh my. I relish knowing Clash's clay has had gone through and beaten every challenger given him by the time he dropped his slave name for Muhammad Ali. It's hard to beat a race, but he tried. Like a floating butterfly or a stinging bee, he rope-a-doped their boys until the very end, valiantly. That's why you, sir, will always be simply the greatest. I adore Cesar Chavez, not because I'm a Latino, but by the time I hit the fields pulling brass tassels from emerald stocks under an Iowan sun screaming blasphemy, I was just a plain old Mexican busting my back for the same low pay with the other Anglo farm kids. Stan Lee, to me, was a fucking pretty cool hero, too, to have in your back pocket while as a young G marvels trying to make sense out of his mortal coil. And like the Silver Surfer, where I soar, I did soar alone. Growing big, pondering lucky thoughts, hanging fat on the fringe with dirty fingernails, thinking about how heroes die in the arms of epics, as if generations can be relevant to heroes. No, now I know heroes die in the passages of eras, because eventually we become defaulted ordinary villains. Most of the time we turn into nothing. And I do bad things for right reasons. And I do right things for my own reasons. I do get mad and I don't care. I want to be left alone. But how does this work? Heroism. Old Rome is returning new and meaner, better organized. Some of us fade into heroes because there's no place left to go behind. I don't want to disappoint Stan Lee. Plus, my Silver Surfer heart won't let me watch this world burn without a fight, even if I wanted it to. In right.
That was great, man. Thank you.
So, thank you. Thank you.
A lot of good stuff in there. Well, let's... Let's take it down. We need to plug ourselves as best we can. We've got the new Gonzo Beats, new Gonzo Beats page on Facebook. You can catch me, Andrew Terman, Zen Daddy T. I'm all over the place. You have the Enlightened Juggernaut.
Yes,
and we're going to get you. We're going to set you up with a WordPress blog pretty soon.
Now, people, a little bit about me. I'm new to the game of poetry and art, and I come out of the factories, and I've always wanted to do this. But in the Midwest, you either a factory man or you're no man. And I promised the old man that I would take a year for art. And it's doing me right. So if you got any advice for new artists or anything, please call in and give us some ideas. Because hopefully one of you guys out there listening have an artist's soul and you want to know how to do what we do. Well, first of all, if you got balls, that's all it takes. And then talent.
That's all it takes.
Too.
Yeah, a little bit of talent. A little bit of talent helps. Okay, well, that about does it for our show, except there's, of course, takes us out. Rubber Biscuit. This is for my brother from another mother, Nels Sogstead, who never listens to a goddamn show I play. But I dedicate the end of the show to him every single time. I'm going to take us out with Rubber Biscuit by The Chips, the original Rubber Biscuit. Here we go. Gonzo Beats episode 3, take 2. So G,
yay.
Congratulations on another great show.
And you too, brother Andrew. You too.
And we'll,
hey, you fuckers out there, tune in and keep an eye on for us because we're doing great things.
Look out, world, here we come.
Hell yeah.
All right. We'll catch you on the next episode.
You got it, brother. Be good.
All right, here we go. End episode. 1, 2, 3.
2, 3.
There we go.